Our speaker of the hour, Charles
Gann.
The title of my lesson tonight is Good Homes Are Essential. And I hope I talk loud enough for you. I'll try that. First of all, I would like to say to you that homes do not make up the individuals. Individuals make up the home. Individuals are the ones that have primary responsibility to obey God and God's instruction. The individuals in the home have free will, so that homes does not determine what is right or what is wrong. That's already been done in God's Word. God has laid us out the blueprint for that. The home is an essential part of society. The home unit consists of individual members of the home. The individual members of the home have a responsibility above others to obey God and His Word. If you buy an appliance or an automobile of some type, or maybe a TV, and you take it home like I would take it home and I'd plug it up. And, you know, if it don't work, I'll keep working with it till I finally figure out what's wrong with it, or I'll go to the instructions. It comes with it, you know. Sometimes us men, the pride gets in our way, and we think, well, the little things that we can fix ourselves, you know. And sometimes we end up coming back to the book of the manual, and we read it over again, and it says exactly how to make that thing work. And you do that, and you scratch your head, and you say, well, that's the way I meant to do that anyway, you know. But sometimes we let pride get in our way. You probably know how to already hook your TV up or your car. Sometimes we buy a new car and we do the same thing. We put the manual in the glove compartment and we leave it there. And until a bell or something goes wrong or some kind of little alarm goes off, and we say, well, we don't know how to fix that. We try to fix it on our own, and sometimes we make it worse than it really is. If you... That is the way that people sometimes handle the book of God. Now, we have today the manual of operation. It is given of God. It is given instructions how to operate essential part of society, which is part of the home. This manual of operation is called the Holy Bible, and every one of you has one of them. If you don't, you should get one. But many times, the damage, like I say, already gets done because we think that we can do things on our own, and sometimes we take the Bible for granted like that, and we try to run our home the way we see fit, and it's not right. You've got to go by the blueprint. How many of you had a problem with an automobile or machine of some kind, and you do like I said, you keep messing with it till you really get it tore up, and then you go back to the instructions and say, well, that's it. That's the way I done it. So sometimes we can do even more damage, like I say. That can work with a car, but it can't work with the Word of God. You've got to go with a blueprint. Let us turn to Mark chapter 10, verses 6 through 9. There, the scripture says, but from the beginning of the creation, God made them male and female. For this cause shall a man leave his father and his mother and cleave to his wife. And they twain shall be one flesh. So they are no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let no man put asunder. The instruction of God is clear. But in the world we live in, our homes, our neighbors are sometimes, like I say, they're not doing the things that God says. Today man behaves as though he was the one that planned the home. But God planned the home. Genesis chapter 1, verse 3 explains that in great detail. We are to understand that God is the one that created the home unit, and He is the one that gave the blueprint for a happy and a healthy home. In Matthew chapter 19, verses 4 through 6, Jesus Christ answered and said to them, have you not read that He which made them in the beginning made them male and female, and said, for this cause shall a man leave his father and his mother and cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh? Wherefore they are no more twain but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let no man put asunder. Men and women today who seek the wisdom that is from above look to the Word of God for the perfect plan of their homes. The materials list for the home pleases God, that pleases God, has been supplied in His book, and that is the Bible. At every time in our history upon the earth, the condition of the homes has been determined the condition of the nation, which is the condition of the nation. Whether or not the righteousness ruled in those nations or whether it does today. It is true that in our nation and in every nation of the world, many of us have been shocked by sometimes what the politicians say or what they do in the entertainment industry today and what they do on the news media. While other corruption is known, many have spoken out about them. There may be a need to look deeper than what we're looking at the individual. If we look beyond what and see the basis of their vile things, we would see the homes of America are not the homes that God wanted them to be in general. Now, of course, there are wonderful exceptions, which is a true Christian home like we have today here at East End. There are exceptions, but I'm talking about the worldly homes, because they are faithful Christian homes like they are today right here. I hope and pray that each of you are a blessed member of such an institution. If you are, then you know about the blessings that I'm talking about. If you are not, you should be interested in having the blessings that we're talking about. That's being a Christian and raising your family in a Christian home and going by God's blueprint, which is the Bible. In our society, there are far too many homes that do not have a good earthly father to guide them. There are far too many men today who have given up on the responsibility that God delegated unto them for an earthly father for their families. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4 says, "And you fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord." Any father who does not accept this responsibility is sinning against God and his family. He is failing to be what God wants him to be. Also, as far as the homes are concerned, there are far too many mothers that want to not accept the responsibilities today like they should. Titus chapter 2, verses 4 through 5 says that the older women should teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chastened, keepers at home, good, obedient to their husbands, that the word of God shall not be blasphemed. All mothers should seek to obey Titus chapter 2, verses 4 through 5. I don't know about the early 40s, because I discovered America in the 1950s. That's when I was born. But I can remember the details of the late 50s and all the 60s and some of the 70s. And some of you can as well as I do remember. Have you ever pondered on the question, what has caused the serious disruption of the American family in many homes as we used to know them? What has caused this to happen? Well, there is a variety of causes, and one of them I'm going to point out to you tonight. Many of you remember, and if you don't remember, the first-hand information, listening to your parents and history lessons and listening to other people talk, and you remember the gray days of World War II. When our nation was threatened and when our nation rose up to fight against their enemy, most of our young men, up to the ages of 30, were drafted in service in the armed forces. This left the women and the children to take care of themselves a lot away at home. Those were the gray days indeed. The women of America did what they could to help their children survive. Many of them took public jobs and they were to do these things until their husbands came home. Well, their husbands came home, but the wives didn't. They stayed at work. They stayed in the factories. They stayed in the shops. And they stayed in public life in the 1940s up to this day today. keepers at home. Look, Titus chapter 2, verses 4 through 5. There is no individual human being that is well equipped to take care of the home as the mothers and the wives are. Mothers and wives, you are the ones who can do it. Your husbands can't do it. And I don't know who ever thought of the idea that the husband is a stay-at-home dad and take care of his family. There's no way that he can do it like the mothers can do it and the wives can do it. If he don't want to have the responsibility of going to work and taking care of his family, you shouldn't have married him in the first place. God intends for us to follow His Word. How wonderful it is that He has provided the blueprint for our family. That is truly and wonderful. The home, as God intended it, is a true essential part of society. Now, there are homes that are not as God intended them to be, and then there are homes that God did intend for them to be. Let's consider the basis of the homes which God honors and brings glory to His children and to His name. A home that is as God has intended it to be is built upon the truth of the inspired Word of God. In John chapter 6, verse 60, we read that the Son of God, Jesus Christ, has the Word of eternal life. So we know that the proper homes need to be built on the Word of God. It is the only Word of truth that can make us free, John chapter 8, verse 32. And that Word is the Word of God, John chapter 17, verse 17. The Word of God is God-breathed and inspired and profitable unto us. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. The Word of God is perfect according to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 10, and James chapter 1, verse 25. The Word of God is also will never pass away. Matthew 24, verse 35. The Word of God has once and for all been delivered unto the saints. Jude, verse 3. Now we have the complete manual of God. The Word of God, if we read the Word of God and follow that Word, then we will be blessed and our homes will be blessed. What is the foundation in the blueprint of the home? Well, first of all, in the blueprint of the home, we read about God's plan for marriage. That plan may be summed up like this: one man and one woman, and both engaged in marriage, a sacred institution, and having children in that sacred institution, and not divorcing after a few years, after you've been married a few years, have children, and then divorce, and then you leave the children and the mother, and lots of times it's in sin when you do this. So it's not what God intended for us to be. God doesn't like that. God doesn't want divorces. He doesn't like homes breaking apart. He wants marriage to last for a lifetime. Marriage is as God intended for it, makes for a honorable relationship according to Hebrews chapter 3, verse 4. So we know that God has made provisions for the home in His holy word. Why would anyone think that they could improve upon God's word for the home and think that they could run it the way to suit themselves? That's why the world is like it is today. If parents love their children, then they will direct them. Those of you who are married in the audience tonight and have children, or those of you that don't have children and are planning on how can I have a happy home, only God can adequately answer that question. How can we have a happy home? There are some guidelines for a happy home that I want to mention to you this evening. God's truth will provide the kinds of homes we need. God can only tell us how to have a happy home. According to God, in order to have a happy home, there is to be one man and one woman eligible for marriage, joined together in marriage for a lifetime. Men and women are to have children only within the bonds of God-ordained marriage. In most bad society, there are mostly bad homes. Good society, there are mostly good homes. In the building of a God-approved home, which is essential for any society today, there are the walls of love. This type of love is pure, holy, true, giving. We are to love one another as God Jesus Christ loved us. This kind of an enclosure is worth defending. Our home is always worth defending. When we're trying to raise our children right and trying to bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. The kind of love that needs to be in the home is the kind of love that puts God first in everything we do. Faith covers the home. That is according to the plan of God. This kind of faith is an obedient faith. James chapter 2, verse 24. This kind of faith is God keeps up the reign of the doctrines of bad doctrines of men. If you are a man who is shielding your home from bad things and obeying faith, then you will truly influence your family in a good way. Obedient faith needs to be abundant in the home, among all family members. This type of faith secures the home. Good homes are essential to society. Individual members from the home make up the churches, which you can tell tonight by looking at the Church of Christ today. You can look out over it and you tell who's got the good homes and who don't. If homes in the congregation of the Church of Christ are well-pleasing to God, then those homes are in the faithful congregation, which is at East End tonight. If a congregation is not strong and faithful but follows ways of the world and lends itself to practically every wind of doctrine, then you know that the members of that congregation are not doing as God says to do. They aren't listening to what God says. They aren't doing what God wants them to do. Psalms 127 verse 1 says, "Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it." All members of the family must work together by doing as God has commanded in order to have a happy home. Fathers and mothers, you need to give your children direction as God has taught so that they will be pleasing in the sight of God and will seek and follow after God. Husbands, wives, children, always strive to follow God in order to have a happy home. The greatest family in God is, if tonight you are, the greatest family is in the family of God. If tonight you are not in the family of God, if you're not a Christian, then become a Christian tonight. If you are a husband, a wife, a child that has reached the age of accountability in the home and you are not a Christian, then your home is not as it should be. Why don't you come and be a Christian tonight? In order to become a Christian, you must obey the plan of salvation. In order to become a Christian, you must hear the Word of God, Romans 10:17. You must believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, Mark 16:16. Repent of your sins, 2 Peter 3:9. Confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, Matthew 10:32. And be baptized for the remission of your sins, Acts 2:38. Those are the simple steps in order to become a Christian. If you are a Christian and have strayed into a public sin, you need to repent of that sin. Acts 8:22 and confess your sins. First John 1:9-9. Those are the simple steps in order to become a faithful Christian again if you have strayed away.